the Lord. The Lord bless each one this morning. Give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to thank every single person for their giving and for their hospitality. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless each one that's given. And we know we can never outgive the Lord. And I appreciate your prayers as we go. Daniel and Mickey's getting married. They're not saved. They're not serving the Lord. But we're praying they will get saved and they will serve the Lord. And that God will really move on them. And it's answered prayer that they're getting married. And I really thank the Lord for it. And thank the Lord for his blessings. And also, we'll be going to see Brother Hard in the middle of our trip. In about the second week we're there, we're going to drive down. It's an 8-hour drive from where we are. Or you can fly, but the flights, it's very expensive. So we'll probably be driving. But I want to drive anyhow, because I want Sharon to see a bit of New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And one of the times me and my dad went hard, drove us a lot, but we enjoyed it to see New Zealand. And there's no secret about it, I do love New Zealand. So you need a prayer, come back. Because I'll not need a nod. I'll only need a wink. Not even take the nod. But I do love New Zealand. That's no secret about it. And there's a prophecy in the back of this Bible that says you'll go to the very end of the earth. And New Zealand's about as far as you can go. Now, I've been before, I'm going again. There's a lot of people that's been inviting me to preach when I'm over there, but I'm not. I'm only going to one church to preach. I'm not going to preach. I'm going for a break. A break. And even the Lord had a break. He came aside for a time. So I could preach. I appreciate all the pastors there that's inviting me to come and preach for them. But I want to go for just a time with the family and a break. And just have a rest. Come aside and rest. And we just appreciate the Lord. Also, there's a couple's contacted me from America. They're coming here on the 26th of July. And they want, if anybody can put them up for one night, just for one night, it's a Christian couple. They're wanting to hopefully see the giant causeway. So if anybody can help out and put them up for one night, let us know and I can send them a message and whoever's willing to put them up, I can give them your details. It's only for the one night they're coming over. And I don't really know the couple. They go to a church in America somewhere. But they've contacted me and asked. So if anyone can help out, that'd be appreciated. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise God. I want to continue this morning from some of the things I've mentioned on Wednesday night, and I want to preach on salvation's included. In your salvation, healing is included. Now, a lot of people belittle healing, and they say salvation, we believe salvation is the most important thing, we believe that. But I want to show you from the Word of God that it is a wrong belief to think that God didn't provide or did some separate thing for you to be healed. In your salvation, there is provision for healing on the cross. And the Lord has made provision for it all. And I have to give out another disclaimer on these glasses. I went back yesterday and they still didn't have the other ones in. These are not for inside, these are outside. They're more or less like sunglasses, but fortunate thing is, I don't have another pair now because they came and were scratched and 100% back. So that's my disclaimer. If these turn dark, don't worry about it. I can see you, but you can't see me. And these on at work the other day, and the boss came down, and I didn't realize, but they were real dark. And he was looking at me. I think he thought he had met the Belfast Mafia. With a bald head and the dark glasses, and there's a security guard come on, and I met him at the corner of the hut, and there was only me But he's a wee fella, and he looked at me with his glasses on, and I think he thought he was sent for. But praise God. The Lord's good, isn't it? The Lord is good. Praise God. My brother Samuel will be preaching tonight, and just to say, Mark's away with the family on holidays. Pray the Lord will really bless him, Mark and the whole family. And Sister Jenny's away on holidays as well. And the family shall pray the Lord will really bless them. Praise the Lord. And you know, this morning, I'm sure you've seen all the cars next door, out the front, everywhere. And they had it on Friday night, going out of Bond Bridge here as well. There's a fellow I work with. His wife rang him. I was with him. And she says, "You're taking me tonight." They're having a service with a parade of the dead, or for the dead. And the Bible calls that the spirit of necromancy. And we are forbidden to pray to the dead. Amen. And that's why even a prophet or a good man that's went on, you can never pray to them. The only one you can pray to is the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot, and you're not even allowed to pray to the Virgin Mary. Because the Virgin Mary needs a resurrection. But the Lord Jesus Christ's body is not in the grave. Now, I know the Virgin Mary, her spirit and her soul's with the Lord, but I'm talking about the body. And I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus' body, Psalmist said, "I will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." He raised up on the third day, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. And he ever liveth. And he is a living sacrifice. There's no such thing as any other living sacrifice. Because anything that you sacrifice in death, it's finished. All them Old Testament animals are finished. They cannot never be offered again because they're gone. Back to the dust. And the blood congeals and dries and goes back to the dust. But the Bible says he ever liveth. Amen. He ever liveth. Amen. To make intercession for the saints. So that's why we are zealous for that fact. That our Savior's living. And look, we need to pray for them people. The system's wrong, but God loves the people. Remember that. It's not, God's not against them people. He loves them. And I tell you, when you get a person that comes out of that darkness, like Martin Luther, that's why I keep telling you, Martin Luther is a man that I admire because of the darkness he come from. None of the rest of them were in that type of darkness he was in. But on one scripture. It's not the power of God's word. Let's start and let's read Exodus. Exodus. Salvation includes healing. Exodus 15, verse 25 to 26. And I have many notes, but I have a lot of scriptures. And I won't try and keep this too long, but the Lord bless you this morning. Verse 25 of Exodus 15. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now this is Merah, where the waters went bitter, where they've landed on the crying of Moses, but the Lord sweetens the water for them. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, "If thou wilt jealously hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon Egypt, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And sickness began in Egypt. I want to bring that out this morning as well. Now, when I say began, it didn't initiate, but that's where we read of it. But it initiated because it said, let's bow our heads. And if you have a need this morning, just lift your hand up before the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that we can come into your presence by the new and living way. Through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. The Lamb slain from the very foundations of the world. Lord, we come against the spirit of necromancy. We come against every foul spirit, every demonic spirit, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ right now that every spirit will become subject to the Holy Spirit. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will be in this room and will be on our lives afresh, that you'll fill us, Lord. Come upon us, Lord, physically, by your Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit, and we take the Holy Spirit afresh right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you do undertake. We pray for every hand that's raised that you'll meet every single need. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless Brother Mark and the family. Lord, bless Sister Jenny and the family. Touch me own sister, me Auntie Eiling, and any others that need your touch. We pray for the backsliders, that you'll restore them, that you'll move on them. And we pray for all of our children. Lord Jesus, you'll save every one of them and claim your blood on them this morning. And Father, thank you for those that's given. For as much as you've did it unto the least of these, my little ones, you've did it unto me. Lord, I pray you'll bless them pressed down and running over the top in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us with your word. Now bless your people in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Here again is this wonderful name. And that is the name Jehovah Rapha. And it is one of the seven compound names of Jehovah, the Almighty, the All-Sufficient God, that's recorded in the Old Testament. And remember, when you're thinking about God and talking about God, He's Almighty, He's All-Sufficient, He never changes His mind about His word, He remains the same. So whatever God did on any certain given occasion or time, God, because He remains the same and because He remains unchanged, if He desires, if He wants to, He can do it again. Any miracle, any miraculous thing, God can do it again at any given moment, at any given time. And here's another wonderful thing about it. God can pick whoever He wants to do it through, because He's no respecter of persons. And it is the Lord who chooses, and it's the Lord who decides. And we are blessed if God uses us, our God moves on us. That is a blessing that can happen, and we thank God it can happen. Jehovah's seven compound names, and reveal Him as meeting their every need from the last to the very end, from the day we get saved to the very last. When the Lord takes us, there is provision in Him for every one of us. And these names reveal different aspects of His redemptive character and the purpose to mankind, all revealed and these seven redemptive names. And all these seven redemptive blessings of God, they were all, every one of them, fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure everyone's heard about the great debate that was years ago, that a man, Baptist minister, challenged William Branham to the debate on healing. And William Branham didn't want to argue with him, and he wouldn't take the challenge up. But F.F. Bosworth took the challenge up. And F.F. Bosworth went to the platform, and F.F. Bosworth mentioned one of these seven redemptive names. And he asked the Baptist minister, "I have one question for you, only one. And let me see if you can answer the one question. And it's the easiest one I have for you." And he says, "I have hundreds of pages," oh, Bosworth had, "of scriptures here, hundreds, but I'm just giving you one. Is the Lord Jesus Christ, this one of these names here, is this name referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah Rapha?" And he never spoke. Because if he had said, and the place was full of Baptists in America, this was years ago, he couldn't deny that this name was not fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, for it was. And if he had denied it, nobody would have accepted it. So the fact that he couldn't, he went on to other things. And he cursed F.F. Bosworth, stuck his fist in his face, tempted to punch him, all sorts of stuff. And William Branham was back in the balcony, and the angel of the Lord came to him, because he wasn't going to go down. And when the angel of the Lord came to him, he came down to where the man was. And that man shook his fist up, and he'd done all sorts of stuff. And that's when he was photographed with that halo of light over him in that meeting. But I'm just saying it about this name. Now,
All these seven redemptive blessings were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and God's unchanging. And one of these names is I am the Lord that healeth thee. So if I am the Lord that healeth thee is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, it's available today. Just like the Lord's our salvation, the Lord's our healer. Now this word Mara, and I might say it right, but you'll forgive me for that. But this is where we have read in our text where they murmured and there was a lot of complaints from them and God kept doing the miraculous. But at Mara is the first covenant made with his people after the Passover for the healing on the condition of obedience. So the Lord tells the people, if they are obedient, that none of the diseases which God's brought upon the Egyptians, and remember, God brought many diseases and many afflictions upon the Egyptians. And you know the last one was the death angel passing. And the only remedy for the death angel was the blood, the token. And the only remedy this morning for the death angel is the token, the blood again. And we know the life of the blood, the Holy Spirit, is the life of that blood. And you can read in verse 26, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. But go back with me to verse 22 to 25 of Exodus. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now, you know, we talk about the 10 plagues, we talk about the water coming from the rock. There's so many miracles that happen, but here's another one. Here's another one when they've just got in where there's sweet water and or bitter water and they can't drink it and God makes it sweet. Isn't that amazing? What about in the 20th century? There's a man that they called William Branham over to their house and they said, Brother Branham, I can't drink this water, it's full of salt. And he drank it and it's full of salt. And he prophesied over it. And there's no more salt come in the water, just like Elijah in the Bible. And you know Elijah in the Bible made the axe head swim. How do you make an axe head swim? That's the power of God. And I'm telling you, the God we serve, we need to keep reminding us. I believe this. I believe God wants us as preachers to remind his people, I am a supernatural God. Because we forget. And that's the reason I'm telling you these things, to remind you that God's supernatural. And he turned this bitter water into sweet water. And I guarantee it was lovely. The Bible says it was sweet. And he showed him the tree to cut down and put it in it. Now, here, the covenant of health and blessing was renewed at Sinai. And I will indeed obey the voice that will take sickness from the midst of thee. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law and to make the promise of God effective to every single one of us. So this is not just something in the Old Testament that God did that can never happen again, but the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He magnified it, and if it can be done under the Old Covenant, how much more under the New Covenant can we expect the blessings of the Lord through Jesus Christ to come on us? It's our right. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this. For all the promises of God are in him, or yea, and in him amen, under the glory of God by us. God can do it. And therefore necessary that we take the promise. God wants us to take the promise so that God may again be glorified. God wants us to take the promise. He doesn't want us to take the negative information that the doctor gave us. And we thank the Lord for the doctors who are doing the job. But the Bible says we're not to chase after physicians. Do you know the scripture says that? That you're not to chase after physicians. And some people, if they sneeze, they're ordering an ambulance. But we're to run after the Lord. Now, I'm not saying we're not to use a doctor on things of God. I'm not saying that. But it talks about chasing after them. The Lord's our healer. That's who's our healer this morning. And the doctors can do their best, but you know when it's a case they can do nothing for it, the Lord can. The Lord can do something. Let me turn you to Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, with us he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. Now let me for a moment break this down and show you a couple of a Hebrew word and a Greek word, and that's what this means. And I know you know it, but I'm reminding you again. The first part of this verse, he had borne our griefs. The Hebrew word is kolai, which means sickness. So the Lord has borne our sickness and carried our sorrows. And the Hebrew word is makob, pains. So he's took our sicknesses and he's took our pains on the cross. Now if the Lord has took our sicknesses and took our pains on the cross, he has took them for us. Just like we're saved through him, we're healed through him. Just like his blood cleanses us from sin, in his body was afflicted and bruised and wounded for us so that we could be healed from sickness and pain. Now you might have pain in this meeting. Maybe people don't preach much about pain, but maybe you have pain. God can take your pain away. And I know I've took painkillers myself. There's no point in me trying to tell you I haven't. I have took loads of them over the years. And one of the times I went with my brother Andrew on one of the trips to America and everywhere, I was in bad shape, four left. I'd done something on my back and had no tablets with me, and Andrew was giving me his tablets when he was taking. But the Lord touched me. And the Lord touched me and I didn't need no more tablets. And I tell you, you might be on tablets, but the Lord can touch you and you'll not need the tablets. But you can become dependent on the tablet. But I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ takes our pain, and the Lord Jesus Christ takes our sickness. And I tell you, the old Pentecostals years ago knew these truths and they practiced them. But maybe we're not hearing enough about it. See, we're living in a society where a lot of the preaching's geared one way. And the other type of preaching's brushed aside because it's not popular to some of the crowds. Some of the denominations won't come to hear it because of the organization they're involved with. Now, the Lord bless them all, but we must preach the full counsel of God. And God will have a people that'll hear. With the stripes we're healed. You see, the first part of this scripture here is Matthew 8:17 is fulfilled. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet in verse 53. But I'm reading you Matthew 8:17, saying himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. Himself. The Lord himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. He took it at the cross. Also, if you look at verse 16, this is Jesus Christ. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. The word of God is so important. You know, sometimes when we go to visit somebody or talk to somebody, we get ourselves worked up. I'm as guilty as anybody. But really, that's the wrong thing to do. Let me take Wigglesworth for an example. When Lester Simmerall came to visit Wigglesworth, Wigglesworth didn't give him small talk. Wigglesworth said, we're going to have a time with the Lord. And he just read him the Bible. unless the Cimarron came away and he thought, what was that all about? But as he walked away and he thought about it, it dropped on him. And he realized he received something from the Lord. And Wigglesworth just read in the Bible and prayed, but he received something. And he wanted to go back for more, and he continued to go back. He was from America, but he was in England visiting. And he kept reading him the Word of God. And here the Lord Jesus Christ says, he healed him with his words. His words healed him. And it is a wrong thought to think I'm just quoting the Bible. No, you're not just quoting the Bible. You are quoting from the book that has the most authority than any other book in the whole last world. This is the Word of God. And this Word is powerful. Even if you're just quoting the Bible, it's powerful. And I tell you, even if you just go to see somebody and you read them the Word of God, there's healing in the Word of God. Amen. And he healed them and he cast the devils out. And I tell you, a lot of people today, epilepsy, so many other, there's a thing called Tourette's. Let me tell you, Tourette's is a devil. And it's a dirty one. It's a stinking one. But it's still a devil. And it might have a nice title that some educated person's given, but it's a demon. But the Lord can cast it out. An epilepsy's a devil. But the Lord can cast out. Look, I'll never forget when I was in Mashingo, brother. You, Brother Simon will know who that is. Mashingo, and we took the school there. And there was Calvin Mago, Wilbert Mashandu, Brother Nabot, Brother Joshua Mirandu, other ministers, I can't remember all the names. And there would have been 1,500 people at that convention. And the last service was late into the evening. There were so many people praying for, they baptized 100 new conversions after that service. And I was on the platform and I was glad it was over and I was tired. And these brothers came and they said, Brother Tom, we need you to come. There's a woman with a very powerful demon and we can't get it cast out of her. Will you come? And I says, Brother, sure, there's lots of other ministers there. And there was a man there they highly thought of. He went on to be with the Lord. But they wanted me to come out. So I come out and then all I can tell you is the honest truth before God as my witness. When I come out and I got to the corner of the school, the same presence that came into my room in the jail, in High Bank Jail in 1989, met me on the corner. That's all I can explain to you. And I tell you, it wasn't anointing. I know when you feel anointing, and I'm not saying the anointing wasn't there, but that presence met me. And a boldness came over me. And when I went to pray for this woman, she took off like Linford Christie sprinting. And I followed her. And she ran down where the green bit is outside this school. And I ran after her. And she stopped and she turned with her fist to physically punch me. And she was a really old woman. And I just began to pray in the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost fell on her. And the demons cried out of her. And they spoke out of her, brother. And the brother said, the devil spoke out of her, and they said, in different languages, he spoke, some Shona, and some, there's another language over there. It's like, click, click, brother, you know that language? Nibali. That's it. And they said, we're from a place down from there, it's powerful witchcraft. And they said, we've been here since she was a very young girl, and we're not coming out. And I said, you're coming out now. Right now. And I said, when you get out, go down to where them witches are and tell them I'm coming over there too. That's what I said. And they come out of her. And she fell down like dead and I lifted her. And the Lord touched her. And she gave her heart to the Lord and got saved. Delivered. And I tell you, I didn't know all what happened then afterwards. She was from the mountains, Brother River. That is over somewhere over there. And she had the snuff pouch, you know. The snuff pouch and everything with her. And she went back up to where she lived. And the brothers went to visit her. And so many people gathered when they went to visit her. They couldn't believe the change on her. And they started to visit her. And many people began to gather. And the work started right up where she lived. And then, you know, after that, we bought them the tent. You remember we bought the tent for the people in Brothers Machingo. Now, you think of that. This morning, Calvin Magos went on to be with the Lord since then. Brother Joshua Mirandus went on to be with the Lord since then. Now, let me tell you another testimony just while I'm on it. And I told this in another church. And they had an offering for me and they didn't give me. Because they thought I was too well off. What do you think of that? Because I told a testimony. But I wasn't well off. God just done something for me. But I had no money in my hand. But the Lord done something for me. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord done. I had a Mercedes estate car. And I sold it. And the Lord told me to give it to the brother in Africa. And it was £4,000. And I had paid for the car. I bought the car. I owned the car. I paid it. I was working self-employed when I got my tax back. The money from the government bought the car. I gave the money to the brother in Africa. Now, I'm going to tell you this before I tell you the rest of the testimony. My father once told me something about giving. He said, if you give on the fellow that gets it or the woman and they burn it in the fire, it makes no difference to you. You've done your part, what God led you to do. Now, I know the fella didn't do that, but I'm just saying. But this brother, I gave him the money for the car. When I seen the way he was living and everything was in his home, I really felt for him. And I gave him, and there's loads of things I could tell you that nobody knows about, but I'm not going to do it. But I'm telling you his testimony. And I gave that, it would have been £4,000 or close to it. And there's a fella that was, he wasn't related to me, but he went with somebody related to me and he couldn't get finance, and I'd got a car in finance and let him have it. But that car ended up getting wrecked. And it was left at my door, wrecked, but I had to pay it. Now my wife knows this is the truth. And her cousin Clint fixed it and he wouldn't charge me for the work. And it still was £1,000 then, because the whole front had to be put in that car, complete new front, had to be put in that car. It was well racked. And I had the car, and I still owed about $6,000 in that car, paying it. And these couple, they let me down. They didn't just let me down and not paying it, but they racked it. This long time ago. And I was praying to the Lord, I've given the car away, I had no debt with the car. And now I'm landed with a car that's wrecked. I've had to pay £1,000 to fix it. And I was in the red in the bank as well. That's the truth. I was getting it tight. And I give the money away and I'm getting it tight. And I'm thinking, Lord, I've done this and I'm getting it tight. But the Lord will never fail you. My phone went. And a man rang me from another country. And he said to me, Tom, how much do you own your car? And I said, what? What car? And he says, look, how much do you own your car? You're paying a car. How much do you owe on it? And I told him, and he said, that's all right. And the next morning we got up, and the money was in the bank to clear the car. But I never mentioned anything about the red in the bank, but it cleared it as well. That's what the Lord done. Now I told that at a spiritual group. And they decided, Tom's, he's well off, you know. He doesn't need anything. Now I didn't go to get an offering. Don't get me wrong, I've preached many a time and never had an offering. And I never started preaching to get an offering. But I'm just telling you, they should have done it. But they didn't do it. But the Lord didn't fail me. The Lord will not fail you. I tell you, you could be given this morning. Maybe some people don't have much, but the Lord will never fail you. He's your provider. It's all in these names. Matthew 8:16. And when evening was come, he cast out the devils and healed the sick. Look at the second part of this. Isaiah 53. It's 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So he deals with our sin, and he heals us with the stripes. Now, if you go on our website, omegaministry.co.uk, that's how you go on it. And when you go on it, there's a box in the right-hand corner. If you hit the box, it'll take you into archives. You'll see a photo of me in a top from 40 years nearly ago. I couldn't even recognize my own self when I go on it. But I'm sharing my testimony on it. But you'll also see on it a man's name, James White. You ever heard of him, Brother Larry? James White. James White saw the crucifixion. And James White didn't believe in healing. And the Lord let him see the whole crucifixion. And the man been whipped and beaten and fell before him in the vision that he had. And the man turned round and he said to James White, "Is this not enough for your healing?" And after that, James White prayed for a woman. She had something wrong with her ankle. And the Lord completely healed her. And you know, James White had a mighty ministry for praying for the sick. And he didn't even believe in healing. But God gave him that experience because God had a ministry of healing for James White. The Lord's a healer this morning. When you look again at these words, "with stripes we're healed," the Greek word is ianomai, to heal physically. So I hear a lot of preachers, yes, we're spiritually healed. And they will not preach from that scripture that we're physically healed. And they'll argue that doesn't mean physically, you're healed spiritually. And you are, but it's physically as well. Hallelujah. And don't give me a half truth, because I have the full truth before me. And I don't want a half truth when I've got the full truth, because Eve swallowed a half truth. And all of us were plunged into sin and death because of it. But the full truth, sir. And there's no lie as bad as a half-truth when we have the full truth. And the Bible's not just saying physically or spiritually. It means physically. The Lord can heal you. I tell you, the Lord's healed me many times. Many times. Broke my toe and the Lord healed me. Tore my muscles in my left leg. And went to the doctor up here in Bond Bridge. And he says to me, you must do a bit of weight training. And you must have thought you're Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he gave me a whole talk until wanted to know what steroids I was on. I said, "I'm on none." And he says, "You must be on some." I says, "I'm on none. No steroids." I says, "My father was a big man, runs in the family." And I says, "I've tore my leg. Why don't you see to my leg? Never worry what you're wanting to worry what I'm on." You know, they tested me one time over at the hospital. The wee woman put me through the thing. She says, "We'll know what you're on once your blood comes back." And it all come back, and I was on nothing. I was on Jesus. That's what I was on. But I'm telling this for the glory of God. I tore this left leg badly. And he said, "You'll never ever lift another weight. You'll never do nothing with that leg." But God healed me. In the meetings, the brothers prayed for me. And I went to the gym in Bond Bridge, and I put 5 Olympic plates on each side of the bar. That's the truth. I shouldn't have done it, brother. Would have done it. Done it anyhow. Now that's 120 kilos on each side. 240 kilos. That's about 500 pound weight. And I get in under it and squatted it. And I said in the mirror, "Devil, you're a liar." That's what I said. Now, I probably shouldn't have done it. But I'm telling you, this business of being healed, and maybe you're not healed. When God heals you, I believe you'll know it. Let me tell you that. A miracle is a real miracle of healing. You'll know it. Now God can, you could be healed over a period of time. I believe that. But God can give you a miracle. And I tell you, when Moses put this tree in this water became sweet as soon as the tree went in it. And they drank it. And I believe this means, in this Greek word, ianome, to heal physically. Now, I know a lot of denominations don't preach that, but that'll not worry me one bit what they preach. Galatians 3, verse 13 to 14. Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, everything under the curse of the law, every sickness and every disease. Listen to this. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham, Brother Larry, of Abraham, might come in the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And God blessed Abraham. And God is saying that the blessing of Abraham might come in the Gentiles. How's it with that there for scripture? The blessing of Abraham coming in us. May God grant it. Hallelujah. That's why Israel can't be defeated with these boys around them. And I know Trump was upset because when they knew the end was coming, Israel gave them an orgut blast. I think they've done the right thing myself. No matter what Trump said. But anyhow, that's not important. The blessing of Abraham. When you think of this blessing of Abraham, don't just skip over it. You remember Abraham's in a situation of an impossibility. Abraham is married to the woman that can't bear him children. And not only is Abraham married to a woman called Sarah that can't bear him children, but Sarah has reached an age. Even if she could bear children, it's now too late. So she never could bear children. Now she's reached the age that all hope's gone. All hope's gone that she can ever have children. But the Lord appears to him in Genesis 18. And the Lord says to him, Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. For I'm thy exceeding shield and thy great reward. And God visits Abraham. And God visits Sarah. And he transforms them. Because there's power in his word. And Sarah has a child called Isaac. And here's Isaac and he's a lad. And he's grown up and God says to Abraham, I take Isaac up the mountain and slay him. Your only son. But then when you read in between, it says Abraham knew that he received him as one from the dead. Abraham knew that he received him as one from the dead. So Abraham obeyed God. He was obedient to the Lord. And he put him on the altar. And I'll tell you what. The Lord had to speak to him two times to stop. Because he was going to do it. Because he knew if he received him as one from the dead, God could raise him if he had to. That's the power of God. This is the blessing. What we are talking about. Coming in Abraham. Now I'm not going to read Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 to 68. But in Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 to 68. You can study it at home. And you'll read all the things that come upon the people because of disobedience. And I want to tell you that every sickness and every disease. Every single one of them. Jesus Christ meets a need for them. Now I told you where this sickness was referred to back in Egypt. Genesis 48 verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took him with his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. So when we read here, we start reading about sickness. I mean, it's linked to Egypt. And Egypt is a type of the world in the Bible. And I tell you, there's a lot of people sick in the world tonight that's not saved. But the Lord can bring them out of Egypt. And not only can the Lord just bring them out of Egypt into nowhere, but he can bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of health, a land of strength, a land of blessing, a land of healing. Not just salvation where you're stuck, but where you're moving forward. And he can fill you with the Holy Ghost and give you the first fruits of the Spirit. In Exodus 15, 26, the Bible tells me, hearken to my words. And my commandments, he says, I'll not put these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, Egypt, from the Lord and healeth thee. As a result of disobedience, death entered the human race, Genesis 2, verse 17, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. From the day thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Disobedience. Disobedience brought it, didn't it? Disobedience. In verse 17 of chapter 3, and this is where the earth was cursed, disobedience. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Thorns and thistles, you know, it brought forth. It amazes me, you know, when we think of the cross. And they put them thorns on them. Them thorns represent the curse. Curse. Those are the thorns, don't they? Do you remember the brother, was it David Nash, preached about the thorns? The lambs won't come through the thorns. Brother David Nash, you remember that? In the wee hall, Brother Terry, over here. And he says, if you're going to be left out where there's lambs and you build yourself a fire and you put the thorns round, they'll not go through the thorns. And I tell you, Jesus Christ's head was encircled with a circle of thorns and they're beaten into him. Because the very curse that was upon this earth, God is showing, and when you read Revelations under them seals, that which was lost to Adam's brought back, he has got the title deed today, Jesus Christ. And this earth is going to be renovated, and this earth is going to be renewed, and the thorns and thistles is going to be once again done away with. And the curse that's on you and on me is lifted in the cross. Thank God for this morning. And I'm going to close in a moment, but I want you to first all see how the devil works. Now I know there's a lot of people, they're preaching a new religion. They're preaching the devil's a healer. He's running campaigns now, brother, as well. He's healing lines and everything. And he's healing people. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. God's the only creator. I tell you, if you need someone in your body that needs to be a creative miracle, only God can do that. In John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. This is him here. Didn't say he's a good lad. He's against every one of us. I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Amen. More abundantly means you can't use all what you've got. Not the blessing we want. Now we can clearly see healing's provided in the plan of salvation. In fact, it's part of our salvation. Healing's part of it. And it's definitely included in the five principal aspects of God's dealing with man. Let me quickly run you through these five principal aspects. And I'm closing. It's 10 past. He's all right for 5 more minutes. Praise God. As these things went dark, brother, we're all right. We're still in the light. God good. First of all, healing's in our redemption. Healing's in our redemption. Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5 tells us it is. Wounded for our transgressions. Matthew 8, verse 16, 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2, 24, he his own self bare our sins on the tree, that we've been dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes, wounds, we're healed. Healing is included in our redemption. Number two, healing is coupled with forgiveness. Healing comes with forgiveness. A lot of people don't get healed because they don't forgive. Didn't Jesus say, if you forgive those that trespass against you, I'll forgive you? But there's some people hold it. They hold it. You know, I'm going to tell you this morning, that's a bad thing. When you hold someone against somebody, even though they're wrong, that makes you wrong. Because you should forgive them. The Bible says, pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. That's the Lord's example, isn't it? Healing's coupled with forgiveness. Psalms 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Does the Bible say it? Absolutely. Look at Mark 2, verse 10 and 11. But did ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and walk, and go into thine house. He forgave him and he healed him. Didn't he tackle him for it? Didn't he tackle the Lord? Could he heal on the Sabbath? And he did so many miracles, he tackled him. Who can forgive sins but God? They didn't know God was standing in front of them, manifested. They didn't realize it. James 5, verse 14, 16. Then he said, amongst you, let them call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The affection, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if somebody comes to me and said, Brother Tom, that was in the Old Testament, that's a psalm, I'll say, that's good, brother, but we're now in James. And it's in the New Testament. Not only is it in the New Testament, it's to the elders of the church. And it says, when they're prayed for and they do that, what the instructions are here, they'll be healed. Isn't God good? Even when we are wrong, he'll still forgive us. And he'll still heal us. Isn't he merciful? Here's the third thing. Healing is God's character and redemptive name. And is the conditional. It's conditional on obedience. It's conditional on obedience. Exodus 1, 15, 26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Deuteronomy 28, 1, if thou shalt hearken and do, then the Lord will do it for you. Exodus 23, verse 22 to 25. If thou shalt obey, then I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. But you know there's people, and they have grudges against other people, and they hold it against them. They need to get rid of that. That's a bitter apple, that one. That's the truth. That's a bad thing. Now I know it could be hard to do. People could wrong you, but you have to forgive them. Number four, deliverance from the curse of the law, which includes all sickness. Deuteronomy 28, you can read the whole chapter. Everything you can find in there regarding sickness, Christ paid for it all on the cross. Galatians 3, 13, 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law and made a curse for us. Paid for it all. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here's the last thing, and I'm rushing because I don't want to keep you too long. Number five, God's word heals. God's word heals. Proverbs 4, verse 20 and 22. My son, attend to mine words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to their flesh. Health to the flesh. What is God's word? Brother, that's the Old Testament. Yes, and you could say that just part of the Bible then. But now we have the full word of God. We have more blessings. We have more to quote from, to believe from. We need to believe it. Psalms 107, verse 20, and then I'm going to close. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God has sent his word to every one of us. I'll tell you this morning, the Lord's delivered you before. The Lord can deliver you again. And anyone listening in or anyone studying, you want to get them seven redemptive names of Jehovah, if you get a Schofield Bible and go to page 7. They're listed right in there on page 7 of your Schofield Bible. Them seven redemptive names of God. Let's stand our feet this morning. Isn't the Lord good? Now, I'm not going to call anybody forward or anything like that. But I believe the Lord can heal you where you are. I know the devil hates me saying that. And I say that a lot. And God's healed people before. And God will heal people again. And I went to a wee meeting one night. And I knew when I went, they wanted me to bring them all to the front. But the Lord told me not to do it. You say, well, I believe he did. Because say, you see, you can get to where you think somebody's going to lay a hand on you. And that's good as well. I believe in that. We do that. But God can heal you without any other man touching you. He can touch you. She only touched the border of his garment. She was made whole. Let us close our eyes. If you need a touch from the Lord, Wherever your problem is this morning, I want you to lay your hand. Wherever your problem is, I want you to believe the Lord that God will touch you. I need God's touch as well. I've been praying for and believing God that God can heal even me. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and cleanse us in the name of Jesus Christ. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Father, you have promised, because of what Christ done on the cross, the blessing of Abraham coming upon your people. With your wounds, with your stripes, we are healed. Father, I pray you'll manifest your healing power upon people in this room right now, on the stomach, on the leg, on the feet, on the head, on the ankle, on the neck, on the back, on the arm, on the eyes. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch your people right now. I rebuke every spirit of infirmity and fear in Jesus Christ's name, and I speak strength and health to each one. And I bless each one in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now for the Lord, not for me. For the Lord. Praise God. And the brother's going to come and sing, and let's water in the word. Worship now and water the word. And the brother Samuel's going to be preaching tonight. And I'll be here tonight, and then Samuel will be preaching. We're off on Tuesday. Need your prayers. It's long flights and everything. Pray for us. And there's been a lot of flights cancelled with the war. But the Lord's in control of everything. So the Lord bless each one.
Amen. Let us sing that little chorus. I know the Lord has made a way for me. I know the Lord has made a way for me. I know the Lord has made a way for me. If I live a holy life, come the
let's sing How Great Is Our God, How Great Is His Word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard.
How great is our God.
Close in prayer for us this morning.
Lord, you are so great.
Yes, Jesus.
You are so mighty.
Yes.
And you are so wonderful.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you for refreshing us by your word.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you for reviving us once again. We thank you for the strength that we have received by hearing your word. We praise your name. We glorify your name. We exalted your name because you are so mighty. We can't compare you to anyone in this world. You rule back the Red Sea and made a way for your people to cross it. What a mighty God.
Amen.
You are. You spoke your way and healed your people when they were sick indeed. We believe the days of miracle is not past, and some people believe. We believe that you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you did yesterday, you can do it today. Father, we thank you. You back your word with signs following. What we have heard today, let us hide it in our hearts. Ponder over it like Mary did, so that we can see results in
That's
our lives.
Amen.
Break every chain.
Amen.
Destroy the works of the devil.
Yes, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Any lingering diseases that is within your people,
yes,
take them away. Burn it by the fire.
Amen.
Let anointing of the Holy Ghost,
yes,
destroy the roots of all these diseases.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
We glorify you that you are one of our numbers today.
Yes.
And your presence has made a feast for us.
Yes, Lord.
To live on. As we depart from your presence, may your presence go with us and give us rest. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
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 Lord bless us back in this evening then. As we leave, we'll sing a little chorus just very similar to when we just sung, Great and Mighty is the Lord our God, Great and Mighty is He. Lord bless us, see you again this evening. Praise God. Great.